Hey, Church Girl. Welcome to Church Girl Gang, a podcast where we get to talk about life, living for Jesus, and everything in between, and how that affects us in the here and now. My name is Kinsey, and I'll be your host, and I can't wait to dive into this conversation with you. Hey, Church Girl. My name is Kinsey, and I will be your host for today's podcast. Welcome to the Church Girl Gang podcast. I am so excited that you're here. Just so you know, Church Girl Gang is a podcast for girls of all ages who love Jesus and want to spend their lives following after Him. If this is your first time joining us for the pod, I just want to say welcome. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad that you're here. You are in the right place listening to the right podcast. This is for you today. Before we dive into the rest of today's episode, you guys, I just want to remind you, don't forget to share. Let your friends know about the Church Girl Gang. You can press the share button on whatever platform you are on. You can post today's episode on your Facebook, on Twitter, if you're there on Twitter, even on your Instagram, on your Insta story. It is so, so easy. Literally could not be easier. So I want to encourage you to do that right now. If you love the Church Girl Gang podcast, help us just get it out to the people. Okay. So take a minute, do that right now. So today I've got quite a bit that I wanted to talk about that I was planning on talking about. And I actually had something specific that I wanted to share with you guys today, and I'm going to do that. I will. But we're going to sort of double up today, because if you follow me on Instagram, you might have seen that I put out just like a little feeler, just wanting to hear from you guys if there was anything specific that you might want me to talk about. And you guys totally delivered. You had some fantastic ideas, really cool things that you wanted to hear me talk about, and I've got them all written down. So thanks to those of you who shared what you were thinking. If you missed it and you've got a suggestion for the pod, something specific that you want to hear me talk about, I would love to hear that. I would love to hear from you. Just head to my Instagram, search at Kinsey Carice. That's going to be linked below, so you can find it really easy, because I know it's not always an easy name to spell. Drop your thoughts into my DMs, or you can comment below this video on YouTube or on Facebook if you're watching the video version. Don't worry, I check it all. So yeah, I want to hear from you. Let me hear what you're thinking. But that being said, one suggestion that was shared was the topic of forgiveness. And I thought, how cool that you guys are wanting to hear about forgiveness. And I realized that my topic, the thing that I was wanting to talk about, and this topic of forgiveness can actually kind of go hand in hand. So today we are going to tackle both. And see how it goes. So, by the way, my topic is actually a little movie review. If you're into the Christian culture things, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. Hot topics and whatnot going around, through the Christian sphere, then you may have heard about the controversy that was kind of bubbling up about this new movie, Redeeming Love. So I want to tell you my own kind of silly story about seeing this movie. It's a whole saga, TBH, and I'll tell you about it in just a minute. But first, if you have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, I just want to fill in the gaps for you a little bit, fam, okay? So Redeeming Love, it is a book written by Francine Rivers. It was recently made into a movie and then released in the movie theaters. And I've actually read a ton of Francine Rivers books. I highly, highly, highly recommend them. She is just a fantastic author. She's an imaginative writer. I love how she can really bring stories to life. Her books either have Christian themes, or some of her books are even Bible stories that she's actually adapted into like novel forms. And they're really cool. She really brings the story to life. Of course, some things are fictionalized, right? You could call it historical fiction, would actually be the genre. But it's so, so good. Really cool stuff. Redeeming Love, maybe I should just give it another go. For most people, I think this is really the book that she's known for, is Redeeming Love. But for me, this is actually like the one Francine Rivers book that I have not read. My mom actually gave me a copy of it before I started reading her books. And I opened it and I tried out like the first chapter, and really I just couldn't keep going. You guys know, because I've said before, I'm just like a huge reader. I love reading. But for me, it was tough to get through because it's a drama. It's pretty sad, some parts. It's very heavy book. And I'm more of a light and airy kind of girl. Okay. So I'm a big Francine Rivers fan. Like I said, I'm sure it's a great book. I'll probably have to give it another go after watching the movie now. But I just haven't read the book itself yet. So, if you're like me, you haven't read the book, maybe you also haven't seen the movie, here is a quick summary of the book. I just pulled this off of Amazon. So that's where this is from. But the summary says this: California's gold country, 1850, a time when men sold their souls for a bag of gold and women sold their bodies for a place to sleep. Ooh, scandal. That wasn't in there. I just added that. Anyway, all right. Angel expects nothing from men but betrayal. Sold into prostitution as a child, she survives by keeping her hatred alive. And what she hates most are the men who use her, leaving her empty and dead inside. Then she meets Michael Hosea, a man who seeks his father's heart in everything. Michael obeys God's call to marry Angel and to love her unconditionally. Slowly, day by day, he defies Angel's every bitter expectation, until, despite her resistance, her frozen heart begins to thaw. But with her unexpected softening comes overwhelming feelings of unworthiness and fear. And so Angel runs back to the darkness, away from her husband's pursuing love, terrified of the truth she no longer can deny. Her final healing must come from the one who loves her even more than Michael does. The one who will never let her go. And that's God, by the way. a powerful retelling of the story of Gomer and Hosea. Redeeming Love is a life-changing story of God's unconditional, redemptive, all-consuming love. So the big controversy isn't really the story. It's based off of a Bible story. But the way it was portrayed in movie form, that's kind of the controversy, and I'll tell you all about it. But first, I want to take a minute to tell you about one of our sponsors, Bethany Phillips Photography. Bethany is someone I've known for a long time. She's my sister, and not only has she been classically educated in photography, but she's also studied under an award-winning photographer. Listen, you guys, she is incredible. She's been on the podcast before. You guys have heard from her, but maybe you haven't looked her up online. Maybe you haven't seen her photography. Amazing photographer, seriously. She wants to help you capture your most special moments and preserve them for years to come. From weddings to family shoots to graduation pictures and even corporate events, she's ready for it all. Check out her work by searching at Bethany Phillips Photography on Instagram. When you book your next shoot, let her know you heard this ad on the Church Girl Gang podcast to receive a one-time offer of $20 off your next shoot. Highly, highly recommend. If you scroll through my Instagram, most of my pictures are from her. So you can take a look at some of her stuff there too. But of course, her professional page is really the place to go, at Bethany Phillips Photography on Instagram. So, you know, it was really funny how I ended up watching this movie, Redeeming Love. My parents had gone to see it. I didn't know much about it, and they came in and said that they had seen this adaptation of Redeeming Love. I was like, cool, sounds awesome. I thought I might go to see it. And as I do occasionally, and by occasionally, I mean literally all the time, I was running my mouth in my church small group, and out came in the middle of our group discussion, "Hey, you guys, I'm gonna go see this movie. You guys should totally come with me." And there was basically no turning back after that. I made a plan. I posted it in our group chat. We were even going to go bowling before we saw the movie. It was going to be like night of nights. So super fun. But no one decided to come. Everyone was busy. I don't know what the deal was with that, you guys. Ouch. I'm just kidding. It didn't hurt that much. And I'll tell you why in a minute. I was kind of glad that no one came. Me, my sister, and a friend loaded up into the car. We made our way to the movie theater, and of course, in true me fashion, I got the movie time wrong, and we had to skip on the bowling, womp womp, so strike number one. But we loaded up on all the snacks, we made our way into the movie. As the movie was playing, I was in a little bit of shock. Okay, this movie was a lot more sexual than I thought it was gonna be, honestly. I do feel like I have to give that warning before I say anything else. It was very sexual. I saw a lot more than I wanted to see, probably a lot more than I needed to see, and I was actually very surprised. We were sitting there in the movie theater, and I was looking at my sister, and I was like, I'm glad no one came with us. Putting that aside, there really was a really beautiful story underneath it all. Of course, the reason that there were these sexual moments was because they were trying to portray the girl. Obviously, we heard she was a prostitute, right, when I read the summary. And so just trying to show her past, her abuse, and also just her trying to figure out how all of that was supposed to move into her future life, right? So there was a purpose behind it. But the story overall, really, really cool, cinematic, beautiful movie. I think especially for a Christian movie, you know, sometimes the Christian movies, even though I love them, I go to see them, occasionally they can be kind of cheesy. This one I felt like was not. It was just a really well done story. And it at the end, it showcased God's redemptive power in a big way. Very moving. My dad actually said that he was getting a little teary towards the end, and honestly, I may have told you guys, I'm not a movie crier. I was a little teary at the end of the movie too. It was really good. I'm not really sure that I can just say like, yeah, go see it. But I wouldn't blame you if you did. So I guess that's your choice. I'll leave it up to you. But of course, that was why there was kind of some controversy in the Christian community around the movie as well. It's just because of all of these sexual aspects that were going on. But the story lends itself to that, so you just kind of have to expect it. I went back and actually reread the story that this movie is based off of, which is found in the Bible in the book of Hosea. Specifically chapters 1-3 is really where this story is found, and it doesn't take long to read, maybe 10 minutes. So I do want to encourage you, just go and check it out for yourself after this. No, there's nothing too juicy in the actual Bible story, just in the retelling. So Hosea, let me tell you about Hosea. Hosea was a prophet of God to God's chosen people. And actually at the time, those people, they were divided into two separate kingdoms, right? So there was the kingdom of Judah. Those were the ones that remained faithful to God. And then there was also the kingdom of Israel. You could also call this kingdom the kingdom of Ephraim, Okay, that's one name for them, or also the kingdom of Jacob. And that name, the kingdom of Jacob, also just a little allusion to the fact that they were not faithful to God. So kingdom of Judah, the kingdom of Israel, those were the two kingdoms. Hosea's job as a prophet was really just to be a vessel for God to speak through. So anything God wanted to share with the people, he would tell Hosea, and then Hosea would tell the people. God would even tell the people what was awaiting them in the future through Hosea. So super cool job that Hosea was given, right? But it was also a really weighty one because he had to be an example for the people of what it meant to live a righteous life. And actually, in Hosea's case, he had to be an example to the people of what God was going to do, what God was going through, and what he was going to do in the future. But we'll get to that in a second. There's a whole story here. So at the very beginning of the book, we read that God told Hosea to marry a prostitute. What? I can just imagine this conversation like playing out between Hosea and his friends where they're like, hey, Hosea, where are you going to? And he's like, oh, I'm going to find a prostitute. And they're like, what? Hosea, I thought you were a man of God. And he's like, no, it's okay. Like, God told me. And they're like, sure he did. Sure he did. But legitimately, God told him to find a prostitute to marry. And so Hosea obeyed. He married a girl named Gomer. This was supposed to be a living example of God's relationship with Israel. In fact, many times in scripture, God is likened to a husband and God's people. And now that includes us, if we're Christians, are likened to a bride. And because of the relational roles that each of us play, it's not always like a perfect, complete metaphor, but it's a really good one because God is taking care of us and protecting us like a good husband. While we are serving him and trusting him like a good wife. And of course, there are the aspects of love and faithfulness that all tie into our relationship with God, right? So it fits really well, this metaphor. Anyway, Hosea marries Gomer and they have three children together. One of the children's name is Jezreel, which actually foreshadows a coming reckoning that God is going to have with the people. Yikes. The other two kids' names are unloved and unwanted. So double yikes there. I think these kids might have needed to have some therapy later on. pretty quick after that, we find out that Gomer went back to prostitution. So this family having a tough time. But God commands Hosea to remain faithful to her, to literally buy her back out of prostitution and then show love and kindness to his wife. And this is very radical. It's a very radical thing that Hosea is being asked to do. In this ancient culture, being unfaithful to your husband usually meant that you got killed. But think about it even in today's culture. If you're married to someone and they decide that they literally rather sell their body than stay with you, wouldn't that make it pretty hard to love them, to stay with them? Wouldn't that make it really difficult? I'd say so. Imagine the pain and the betrayal. And that's what brings us to this idea of forgiveness. See, God was using this whole situation as an example of what had occurred and what would also happen in the future with him and his people, Israel, and ultimately with you and with me, his people, the ones that he made promises to, and they also made promises back, right? Like when you get married, you make promises, you form a covenant, you form a bond together. These promises were of faithfulness and of love. And then these people, these chosen people, they turned their back on God. They gave themselves to other gods. And actually, they began worshiping the god called Baal. We also give ourselves away. We also give ourselves to other gods. It may not necessarily be Baal, but I've heard it said that whatever you spend the most time doing will show what you really worship, right? And so for some of us, it may be social media. For some of us, it may be work. It may be good things like our family or our health. But if we're giving the bulk of our hearts, the bulk of our time to something other than God, we have created an idol out of that thing. We've created a god out of that same thing, right? And it hurts God. We see that exemplified in this story, right? Just as we can imagine the hurt and the pain that Hosea was going through, God was using this story as an example of his relationship with himself and his people. And so we can see that this, when we turn our backs on God, it hurts God to see us sell ourselves to other things, things that will hurt us in the long run, just like Gomer and just like Israel. But in his loving kindness, he forgave the people of Israel, just like Hosea forgave Gomer, and God forgave us too. And although we all still have to suffer the consequences of our actions, I'm sure Hosea and Gomer had to go through a lot to come back together, right? And that there was a price that had to be paid for Gomer. We also have to suffer the consequences of our actions, but God is still with us through it all. He hasn't turned his back on us, even when we turn our backs on him. And remember when I said Hosea had to literally buy Gomer back? God did that too. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says that God paid a high price for you and me. You can go check that out for yourself, 1 Corinthians 6:20. And that price, by the way, was Jesus dying on the cross. So the point I really want to get at when it comes to forgiveness is this. God forgave you of everything. So why can't you forgive someone of something? Forgiveness is more about you than another person, because forgiveness means that you lay down your anger, your hurt, and your resentment, and you do what you can to restore the relationship. It can be hard, and no one is God, so no one is going to get it perfect. Sometimes we need to forgive by the day, sometimes we need to forgive by the hour, and sometimes we need to forgive by the minute, my friends. When you feel that anger bubbling up inside of you, you need to say a prayer. Ask God to help you to forgive. Give the situation over to him and move on. And then repeat. And then repeat. It's not going to be a perfect process, but that's more what it is. It's a process. It's not just a single thing that you do. It sometimes takes time, and that's okay. But honestly, I don't think there's a single person that God doesn't want us to forgive. And like I said, it's really more about you and the weight that you're carrying around than anything else. So it's time to lay those things down at the foot of the cross. Okay, so before we part ways today, I want to hear about your favorite movie, okay? No, mine wasn't Redeeming Love, although it was a good one. Tell you what, you share and I'll share as well, okay? So let me know in the comments below this video, or DM at churchgirlgang on Instagram, or the coolest way you can actually respond to this is on Spotify. So check it out there. Respond there. You should see a pinned question right below this episode. Super cool. By the way, when you respond, I'll take some comments and I'll even share them on our next episode. So just do it. It'll be awesome. We'll be right back here next week for another podcast. I am so excited for next week's pod, by the way. Be checking social media for some updates on what is coming on the next episode, because I think that you will be excited as well. But before we end, I just wanted to remind you of this verse found in Colossians 3:13, which says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Don't forget that. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Because he has. Until next time, have a great week. And we'll talk to you soon, church girl. Hey, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Church Girl Gang. If you enjoyed listening to this and want to help us grow the gang, be sure to leave a 5-star review on your listening platform. If you're on YouTube right now, be sure to hit the subscribe button and the notification bell so you don't miss an episode. Do it right now. You can connect with the Church Girl Gang and say hello on Facebook or Instagram, and also feel free to connect with me personally on all social media platforms, including YouTube, by searching at Kinsey Carice or heading to kinseycarice.com for more content just like this. Bye!